First reading this morning is our Old Testament one, and it's 1 Kings 19, verses 3 to 15. And the New Testament reading is Hebrews 11, verses 39, straight through to chapter 12, verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread, baked over hot coals, and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights, until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord appears to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great, powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram." Our New Testament reading. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. But you've, I think I've read another verse. Apologies. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Aaron. It's always good to read more of Scripture anyway, so don't worry. Let's pray together. Eternal and loving God, as we have heard your word read to us, as we come now to reflect upon it, we ask for the help of your Spirit. Help us to hear what you are saying to us, and help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Adam said earlier on, quite rightly, there's lots of things that we are missing with our restrictions, with the lockdown we've had, not least missing each other. It is so good to at least gather together, even if it is in a strange context and environment. It's been interesting that some people have really, really struggled with the lack of human contact. Others actually have actually been quite seemingly okay with it. And it's not necessarily, I don't think, a personality type kind of thing where introverts are really happy in their own world and don't want to engage with anybody else, and extroverts are really missing everybody and it's terrible. I don't think it's just a personality type kind of divide on this. I think that just simply some people have adapted better than others to the current situation. But one observation which was clear to me was how you as a congregation really missed each other. It's a lovely memory that I hold when we gathered again for public worship on the morning of the 27th of September. And I've kind of flippantly said to people in passing, I could have preached on anything that morning. No one would have cared what I preached on. The fact that actually everybody could see each other and people were engaged with each other and chatting outside and really loving the fact that they could see each other. It was just wonderful to see that. It's one thing to see someone on a Zoom call, or maybe to chat to someone on the phone. But there is something really significant about being in the physical presence of another. And that's because God has made us to be in community. He's not called us to be solitary Christians. I know that for some people, and more so with the older generation, if I can say, are really worried about not being able to get out to church. And I've reminded them, and I do again here publicly, that church isn't simply a place to attend on a Sunday or during the week at various activities, but rather it is a family in which we belong. There are times when people can't get to a public worship service, and indeed, with our current context, shouldn't come out to a public worship service, but they are no less part of the family. This is All Saints Sunday. Traditionally, it's the Sunday in the year when we reflect on those who have died in the faith, and we are grateful to God for those especially who have influenced us in our own discipleship journey. But interestingly, the saints in the New Testament was a reference to those who were followers of Jesus and still living. And so today, I want us to reflect on the fact that as God's people, we are made for community with each other. Now, that community in our current context maybe looks quite different to what we've been used to. But nevertheless, we are still community. We are still family. And many of you know that as East Belfast Methodists together, we've had Bible studies during our lockdown. And even in the last few weeks, we've then had Bible studies on mental health, which I know some of you have engaged with. And you know as well as I do that with these restrictions that we have had in the past and have at the moment, they will continue to have major implications for people's mental well-being. About 10 days ago, when we were looking at our second session in our Bible study, we looked at the story of Elijah, which we heard this morning, with regards to the issue of depression. And as we studied that passage, thoughts started to go through my head in terms of how we connect with each other during these restrictions. I'm sure you know the story of Elijah well, but let's just remind ourselves of it. Let's put this in some kind of context. We read some verses from chapter 19. If we go back to chapter 18, we read of how Elijah was in a showdown at Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. And each side was to prove that their God was real. So there was the prophets on one side. There's Elijah on the other. They have a bull for a sacrifice. And they're going to pray to their God or their gods in the case of the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And they're then going to see whose God is real. Well, of course, the prophets of Baal are praying away and they're frenzied. And of course, nothing happens when they pray to their so-called gods. Elijah taunts a little bit of sarcasm and fun at them, and then prays to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God responds, sends down the fire, the sacrifice is consumed, Elijah is vindicated, his God is real. But the story doesn't end there. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, gets to hear what has happened, wants to exact revenge on Elijah. Elijah runs for his life, literally. He arrives at Beersheba in Judah, and all alone, and thinking that he has no support, Elijah expresses a deep, sad emotion that he wishes his life was over. Traumatic. It's such a tough line to read in the scriptures. Now, we know the Bible records all kinds of human emotion and thought. It records the wonderful, joyful times of human experience, but also the devastating times of sadness and feeling overwhelmed. And that's what it was for Elijah. For him, this feeling of wanting his life to end largely came from his feeling of being afraid and being alone. Now, if there had been some others around him, maybe he wouldn't have felt alone, but he wouldn't have felt afraid, perhaps. But loneliness and isolation is such a critical aspect of our human experience in our society, and even more so in our society. Before we'd ever heard of COVID-19, loneliness and isolation has been huge and rampant. The sense of community in the street has diminished over time. You know what it's like. How often you've maybe remarked that you used to know everybody in the street, but now you know very few people. When we did the Clap for Carers, at least it brought people out of their homes and to their neighborhoods. You maybe saw the neighbors next door. Going for a walk around the neighborhood at least afforded the opportunities for people to chat with each other as they passed by. But still, there is so much loneliness and people feel isolated. Some years ago in the Irish Times, there were personal stories that were submitted about people feeling lonely. And it was a whole article about loneliness, and different people wrote in from their own experiences. Let me recount one such personal story. I'm in my 40s with a big family of five children. Loving husband, two wonderful sisters, lots of gorgeous friends, and a busy, fulfilled life. So how would you ever imagine that I could suffer from loneliness? But yes, since my father died 6 years ago, I miss him so much, sometimes that I get very lonely. I wonder when I'm going about my day, doing my shopping, going for a walk, illegally putting on my lipstick in the car, or on the way to work, or typing an email, why does loneliness just hit you? If loneliness was a color, it would have to be a dark gray, slimy color, because that's what it feels like when it hits you right in the stomach, a horrible, gut-wrenching feeling. I often wonder when I go about my business how many people are feeling the same. I would always have thought loneliness was exclusive to people living alone with no one around, but sometimes loneliness is more acute when you are in a crowded place, because no one knows how you feel inside, and it's amazing to see people going about their business not knowing that someone within reach is hurting so much inside. Maybe when we ask someone the overused question, "How are you?" we could stop and actually listen to the answer. Because loneliness is a horrible, horrible feeling, and I believe everyone feels it at some stage of their lives. I wonder if that describes you today. That you're feeling lonely, perhaps even isolated, even in the midst, in the context of others being around you. Or if not now, you can remember the time in the past when you felt lonely, when you felt isolated, when no one was sharing in your own experiences, and you felt in your experiences no one could understand. Loneliness is a huge issue. Now, for us in the church, it is great that God has created us to be in community. That actually, that lovely passage in Hebrews, where we are reminded about those who have died, who are surrounding us in the Spirit, who are cheering us on as we continue on our earthly pilgrimage, that actually they are not complete without us, and we are not complete without them. There is something so vitally important in the work of the Spirit that binds us together as God's people in faith. It is wonderful that we are in community, that through Christ we are joined together as one body in Christ. And we need to be reminded of this. God's intention for his creation is about human flourishing through interaction with each other. It's about having loving and caring relationships through which we ourselves grow and enable others to grow and develop. But sometimes, and particularly in these days, we do need to go out of our way to encourage that sense of community, that sense of connection with each other. I'm very aware of those who can't and, as I've said, shouldn't come out to public worship services and are frustrated that they can't be here and can't share together physically. And it's made harder by the fact that not everyone has the internet and can see the service online. But it's much more than that. It's about developing relationships with others, giving of your time for the sake of others, And in our current context, that is really, really tough. So we've got to make a concerted effort to realize this and to ensure that sense of connection, that sense of community. Not everyone likes talking on the phone or is able, let alone wanting, to do Zoom calls. As I've said, I'd never heard of Zoom until March. But from doing online services, online kids zone, online creche, to delivering sermon material and collecting groceries from folks, you have lovingly done your part in continuing to keep those connections with each other in the church family, and I commend you for that. We're doing like lots of congregations are doing, trying to think creatively, do things differently to ensure those connections. As and when we come out of this COVID crisis, whenever that is going to be in the future, my prayer is that people don't get so dependent upon the online stuff that they neglect the good habit of meeting together. You know, there is something of a novelty, isn't there? Of sitting at home in the luxury of your living room, perhaps still in your pajamas, watching the online service from wherever, and you can pick and choose where you want to watch it from. But it can't replace, nor should it ever replace, the necessity of sharing life together, of building community, of caring for each other within the church family. Together, we are the body of Christ, and every part is significant for the health and well-being of the whole body. Being a church family, having that sense of community, is part of God's good creation. It is central, I would contend, and part of God's building for God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It isn't by accident that God established the church through Christ. It is about being in community with each other to encourage each other in the faith and to care for those who are in need. Loneliness and isolation is one of the greatest needs we are facing. And as a church family, each of us is called to play our part in seeking to address this, because that's how we play our part in building for God's kingdom. Let's pray together. Eternal God, thank you on this All Saints Sunday for those who have died in the faith and have influenced us in our own faith journey. We thank you for their service, for their faithfulness, for their loyalty to you. And we thank you for the community of the faithful whom we share with as a family, as a body, as community. And we pray that you would continue to help us to play our part, especially in ministering to those who feel that loneliness and that sense of isolation. Thank you for each other and for the love we share together in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.